Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Any port that you might have to miss, do not worry. We have the on-demand section of the app and the website, KSGF.com, sponsored by GunTech and Nixa. So you can listen to it at your convenience. This is also on iTunes, Spotify. So there are numerous places that you can get that. Cuomo keeps digging and digging and digging. Now a Cuomo aide has said that a top infectious disease doctor spoke to the governor regularly. But that doctor says, no, that's not true. And White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki got audio in which she was asked, hey, you know, here's some audio of Joe talking about the gold standard for dealing with coronavirus and that Cuomo is that. Looking back on that, do you still think this guy is the gold standard? She can't even bring herself to say, no, he's not. And Business Insider has a story about the Washingtonian story. I kid you not, this is the headline. Trump complained that he was served a smaller steak than a dining companion at his D.C. hotel restaurant, according to report. These people have an unhealthy, an emotionally unhealthy problem. They need help. Now, this is what they've taken to write. We've got to find something about Trump. Oh, he found someone who said that he once complained that his steak was too small. That's a story? Business Insider thinks that that is newsworthy of the business world? Here's Jason Rima with news. Springfield's Talk 104.1. KTTS First Alert forecast, sunny 53 for a high today. Tonight, low of 34. Tomorrow, sunny 64, and Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high of 50. It's 31 now, just about above freezing. Wednesday is the day we are slated to switch over to our new transmitter. I think that's the day actually it's supposed to get in. And then I believe it will not be long after that, the switchover. It's my understanding if all things go according to plan, we will be off air for maybe 30 minutes. During that period of time for that switchover. So give you a heads up that if you do hear on Wednesday or Thursday, the FM, now AM and streaming, all that jazz will still be up and running. But that period of time, it's a good period of time because that means that the new transmitter is being installed. And also, and I know some of you, it's unavoidable to notice it, that I've always maintained a shorter break load during the morning show. Well, when I first started, they were relatively long, and then I shortened them up a bit. And there's a balance there, you know, because we want to give you, our partners, information so that you're aware of all the products and services of those who are here with us on the station. You know, but at the same time, you don't want too many. And with us being off the air, we're trying to make good for our partners. You know, some of that time that while their ads were on AM and many of them also on the streaming options, the FM signal that, you know, just wasn't there, or it wasn't there in any real meaningful way. And so we're trying to just, you know, make good for our partners in that way. So if you've heard, like, seems like, man, there are a lot more commercials than usual. You know, there are more than usual, just hopefully during a very short period of time. That way we can make up for our partners there. And I just, you know, wanted to make you aware that that was what was going on in case you feel like there are more commercials than usual. And that's the reason why. All right. Coming up, Cuomo aide said top infectious disease doctor spoke to the governor regularly, but the doctor is saying, no, that's not really true at all. Here's traffic with Jason Rima. I'm Nick Reed. A prestigious infectious disease doctor is denying that he ever spoke to Governor Andrew Cuomo or his team aside from a 1 5-minute conversation. This despite the governor's top aide claiming that they spoke on a regular basis. The specialist said, I had 1 5-minute conversation my entire life with Governor Cuomo just a few weeks ago when he called me to congratulate me on a TV program appearance. This is Dr. Michael Osterholm, director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. The clarification comes after Secretary to the Governor Melissa DeRosa told lawmakers weeks ago that Cuomo regularly conferred with Osterholm and other top doctors for advice to guide policies related to his handling of the coronavirus pandemic. I mean, it sounds these state legislators are being lied to left and right, it seems. And more of them are coming out and saying, listen, everyone knows Cuomo is a bully. You know what this reminds me of to some degree? Elliot Spitzer. Elliot Spitzer was the Attorney General of New York, and he was a Democrat. His fall from grace began with some young gal, a call girl perhaps. But whatever it was wasn't the significant aspect of it. It was the fact that at some point, even Democrats began coming, and they just thought we could get rid of this guy. He's a total maniacal psychopath, and he is power hungry, and the knives began to come out. Because they saw him, or they saw the situation as a way to finally get rid of this guy, and you're beginning to hear similarities between that situation and the way that Democrats privately felt about Elliot Spitzer and then publicly began expressing it, and the way that many of these Democrats are starting to talk about Cuomo. Now, I'm going to tell you something, too. I believe Cuomo is this way. This is not a surprise to anyone that has any sort of connection to him at all. In other words, if he really is such a bully, the way that many of these state lawmakers are saying, and a number of other Democrats have come out and declared, yeah, everyone, this is Cuomo. This is what he does. He threatens people. Then everyone knows it. That means that while the Biden administration was out there, Joe Biden was talking about he's the gold standard. He knew how he really was when he's being awarded Emmys. Everyone knows. It's all for show. It's all theater. I don't think there is anything authentic about these people. Must be exhausting every single day to not have a centered self. To not, you know, to just constantly be positioning, constantly behaving in a way not based on who you truly are and what's right or wrong, but what is the position I need to take in order to continue my political career. Jen Psaki was asked about what it is, you know, it's being revealed, and Joe Biden in the past referring to Cuomo as the gold standard. And still the White House refused. I mean, this is a guy who has the deaths of thousands of elderly people on his hands. He points the finger at everyone else. He continues to apparently get caught lying, and he's finally getting called out for it. But the Biden administration still refuses to say he's not the gold standard.
I want to turn to another controversy that raged this week. Andrew Cuomo under fire for allegedly not being transparent and misleading on the number of nursing home deaths in New York. Last spring, President Biden cited Andrew Cuomo as the gold standard for leadership during the pandemic. Take a listen.
Your governor of New York's done one hell of a job. I think he's sort of the gold standard.
So now we've seen that Governor Cuomo has allegedly under miscounted nursing home deaths, misled legislators in New York. And he called a New York Assemblyman Ron Kim, raising questions, threatening to destroy him, I think was his actual words. So does President Biden still consider Andrew Cuomo the gold standard when it comes to leadership on the pandemic?
Well, John, we work with Governor Cuomo just like we work with governors across the country. He's also chair of the NGA. So he plays an important role in ensuring that we're coordinating closely and getting assistance out to people of his state and to states across the country. And we'll continue to do that. And there, of course, will be a process. The investigations will leave that to others to determine, the appropriate law enforcement authorities to determine how that path is going to move as we look forward. But we are going to continue to work with a range of governors, including, of course, Governor Cuomo, because we think the people of New York, the people of states across the country need assistance, not just to get through the pandemic, but to get through this difficult economic time. And that's where our focus remains.
All right. But Jen, my question was, does President Biden still believe that Andrew Cuomo is the gold standard, represents the gold standard on leadership during this pandemic? Just a yes or no.
Does well, he John, the president, the president. Well, it doesn't always have to be a yes or no answer. John.
It doesn't really have to be a yes or no answer.
Cuomo is as much the gold standard in dealing with the coronavirus pandemic as Jen Psaki is the gold standard of press secretaries for the White House. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. TurnersRockLiving.com. The weather's gotten nicer. We don't have all of the ice and snow covering everything, some of the side streets. So it is a good time once again to actually stop by Turner's Rock and check out the brand new facility. Leasing is underway. They have a welcome center. It is off Sunshine and 65, and you can find them online at turnersrockliving.com. That's turnersrockliving.com. We've got news coming up in just a couple of moments with Jason Rima. First, he does have our latest traffic update here on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Now, here's a real story. Eliza Relman, a Business Insider. Thank goodness that there is still some integrity in journalism. This story from February 19th of this year. Trump complained that he was served a smaller steak than a dining companion at his D.C. hotel restaurant report. Is it any wonder that people have so little respect for the press any longer in this country? Donald Trump, during the launch of Trump Steaks in New York City, Trump once complained the steak he was served at his Washington hotel restaurant was too small. President Trump complained that it was smaller than one given to his table companion, the steakhouse former executive chef told the Washingtonian. Bill Williamson, then the chef at BLT Prime at the Trump International Hotel, said the two steaks were virtually identical. Quote, it was the same steak, both well done. Maybe it was half, well, that's the real story here is that the steak, well, isn't it? I mean, well done.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I know some people, look, each his own. I'm a rare medium. I'm a rare guy. My family, we range from rare to medium rare. Well done. Wow. Quote, it was the same steak, both well done. Maybe it was half an ounce bigger or something. I don't know. But after Trump's complaint, Williamson switched from serving the president a filet mignon or bone-in ribeye to a 40-ounce tomahawk, which is larger than all the other steaks offered up at the restaurant menu. The restaurant also ordered special extra-large shrimp for Trump's appetizer dish, according to the Washingtonian. I mean, these people are obsessed. They are absolutely obsessed with this guy. What adult thinks that this is something that needs to be written as a news story? Oh, they dog on Melania, too. First, let's get Jason's update on the news. Springfield's Talk 104.1. KTTS First Alert forecast, sunny 53 today, low of 34 tonight, 64 for a high tomorrow, and sunny on Wednesday, a high of 50, it's 33. The Washingtonian did a full-blown story on, a number of things, but it focused on Trump and how he once complained that his steak was smaller than someone else's steak. Oh. And And then the Business Insider felt that this was important enough expose for them to cover the expose. By the way, this is February 19th of this year. Former First Lady Melania Trump was also known to be picky with her food, they write. Williamson said she once returned a plate of Dover sole, a fish, that's priced at $64 on the menu because it was topped with chives and parsley. Well, my gosh. Trump always sat at the same table at the corner of the dining room, which was always reserved for him and his inner circle, and ate the same meal every time he visited the restaurant. Immediately after he was seated, a waiter would offer him a small bottle of hand sanitizer and ask him whether he'd like his Diet Coke with or without ice. Then the server would open the drink according to a 7-step instruction manual the Washingtonian obtained. The president would have 2 popovers, then jumbo shrimp cocktails, his signature well-done steak, and fries. He'd sometimes have either apple pie or chocolate cake for dessert, the report said. Trump also required that an assortment of snacks and sweets, including Lay's sour cream and onion potato chips, Milky Way, and Snicker bars, had to be laid out for him. Trump's red meat and fast food heavy diet have long attracted attention. Didn't really attract attention. You people are just obsessed with this sort of thing. Does anybody else, other than people who want to trash on Trump, care about this? His former campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, wrote that Trump would regularly eat a 2,400-calorie McDonald's meal consisting of 2 Big Mac burgers, 2 Filet-O-Fish sandwiches, and a chocolate milkshake on the campaign trail in the White House. Now, I do find that hard to believe. And maybe I'm wrong. Eating at one setting 2 fish fillets and 2 Big Macs and a milkshake? I just have a very difficult time believing that. I'm not saying that he's the healthiest guy in the world, but that's just a lot of food. Maybe he does. Maybe. In the White House, Trump would often be served 2 scoops. This was one of the early on big scandals that one of the media outlets did an expose on, the fact that he would get 2 scoops of ice cream with his dessert while his guests received only 1. Oh, that was the Times that reported that. Or Time Magazine, rather. Legitimate news all over the place. Coming up, Newton County is getting a little bit of national attention, particularly amongst more liberty-minded news outlets. And it is in regards to a county passed resolution that says if federal law enforcement tries to enact any of these certain laws that Biden does by executive order, or any law that runs counter to the Second Amendment, the sheriff's department has the jurisdiction to arrest those federal agents. And Newton County, if you don't know, it's south of Joplin. It actually, the northern part of Newton County is on 32nd Street. So Joplin is in Jasper and Newton County, and then it goes south from there. So we'll have that story here next. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate, the personal passion that she has for what she does translates to countless numbers of people in the area that have just been so grateful for the experience that they had with Emily Johnson, the helpful information, the tips, and that personal attention. Everyone has different goals and motivations in life. Some, you know, want to build these massive empires, and you have this entire team of people under you. And then, like Emily Johnson, she's like, "No, I want when I sit down with you and we meet, we're going to sell your home. I'm there the entire way. You don't get passed off to anyone. Whatever it is that you need, whenever it is you need it, it's Emily Johnson that you work with. So if you want that personal touch, if you want one individual who knows exactly what she's doing and is going to be accountable to you and going to make you her top priority, then you want Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate. 890-1455 is her number. You can find and like her on Facebook. It's Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. Now, I believe the Blaze has some reporting on this. The Daily Wire, Red State, I think, also does. Sheriffs can arrest feds who violate citizens' gun rights. New Missouri County ordinance says. Now, this is Newton County. Neosho is in there. The Joplin, south of 32nd Street, is in there. Daily Wire writing. One Missouri county concerned the federal government might infringe on the Second Amendment rights of its citizens passed an ordinance this month which would invalidate any such attempt by the federal government. The Second Amendment Preservation Act of Newton County states, be it enacted by the Newton County, Missouri Commission. Can you see Greene County doing something like this? Be it enacted by the Newton County, Missouri Commission as follows. All federal acts, laws, orders, rules, or regulations passed by the federal government, and specifically any presidential administration, whether past, present, or future, which infringes on the people's right to keep and bear arms as guaranteed by the Second Amendment of the United States, Article 1, Section 23 of the Missouri Constitution, shall be invalid in the county, shall not be recognized by this county, and specifically rejected by this county, and shall be considered null and void and of no effect in this county. Such acts, laws, orders, rules, or regulation include but are not limited to any tax levy, fee, or stamp imposed on firearms, firearm accessories, or ammunitions not common to all other goods and services, any registration or tracking of firearm, firearm accessories, or ammunitions, any act ordering the confiscation of firearms, firearm accessories, or ammunition, and finally, any act, whether past, present, or future, passed by the United States Congress and signed into law by the federal government, specifically any presidential administration which infringes on the people's right to keep and bear arms in Newton County, Missouri, shall be considered null and void by the county and not recognized by the county. The law adds, any and all federal agents trying to enforce the regulations listed in Section 1 shall be subject to arrest by the Sheriff's Department. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Queen City Motors Talk and Text Line, which is 447-KSGF. Had a message, Nick. Haven't been able to listen much this morning, so maybe you've already commented on this. Was watching news, local TV station Friday night, I think, and they were reporting that Cox Hospital had a total of zero COVID patients, which is good news, but let's all keep wearing those masks, even though there's not one patient. Crazy. Now, I'm not sure if this is what it's referencing, but I know there were zero patients in that new wing. I don't think there were reported zero cases in the entire hospital, but there was that. I think this summer they expanded in order to accommodate for additional COVID patients. And I know that I saw a story where they closed that down because there were zero patients there. And what is occurring when it comes to the issue of the mask is what, I don't know, a year ago maybe, probably not quite a year ago, but at some point I predicted, and that is when they were telling us that the point of the mask was to flatten the curve, I predicted that once the curve was flattened, we would be told, well, we have to keep wearing them to make sure the curve doesn't return. And that once they realized that they had the power to make people do this, they would not let that power go. And I was challenged on that. Because it was, and I think genuinely believed that the people making those decisions really didn't want to. They, you know, it was worst case scenario that they fully understood and recognized, not just with the mask, but the different regulations and these occupancy requirements, primarily the damage that they do to small businesses. And we've seen numerous businesses just not able to survive that onslaught by the city of Springfield and the county. And so the moment that curve began to flatten, they would stop all of these different regulations. And here we are. And we aren't, we don't see any movement when it comes to repealing any of these or even letting them expire. The mask mandate itself isn't nearly as damaging to the local business owner as some of the occupancy requirements and you know, those particular burdensome regulations. And I don't like to be right when it comes to certain things. I this is one of those instances where I wish that I was wrong. And as soon as they flatten the curve, then they would have taken their boot off the neck of the business owner. But here we are. And I can guarantee you, if asked, the answer will be, well, we have to, you know, we've got to keep moving forward to make sure that it doesn't return. Which is what I predicted would happen. I've seen a lot of people posting, we're coming up, or maybe we've hit it, the one-year anniversary of the two-week shutdown. Government. I mean, folks, you just can't trust them. You just cannot trust them. Glenn Beck's coming up next. I will talk to you tomorrow. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.1.